Happy Sabbath. It's good to be in your midst this morning, and it's good to see full church, and it's very warm and nice here. And Dennis asked me to share some things about myself so that you don't wonder all sermon where is her accent coming and why can't we understand her. My name is Leva. I come from a small country in eastern northern Europe called Latvia. It's one of three Baltic countries next to Baltic Sea, and Latvia is in the middle. There is Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. That's where I grew up. That's where I went to school. That's where I studied. I studied communications and public relations. I'm not born in an Adventist family. I was baptized together with my mom in 2002. And it was a blessing to be baptized together with my mom. And I went to Norway as a student missionary. And I think that was the first place where I heard of wildwood. I have a vague memories. I think somebody gave a presentation. There is a Madison Mission School in Norway. And I think in one of their inspirational weekends, I heard about wildwood. And wildwood is a medical missionary school in America. It's in Georgia, in state of Georgia and Tennessee. So Dennis said I should say how I came to America. I would say God brought me to America because I didn't have a big dream to come here. But after I left Norway, my friend called me and said, what do you think about medical missionary work? And I said, I'm sure it's not for me. And you know how it goes with all those sentences. I'm sure it's not for me. So I was here. I was here after a short period of time after saying that. And that's where I met Daniel. He has come from Walla Walla to Wildwood, also to take the same training in health evangelism. So he was already there when I arrived. It was in 2012, in 10th of December, when I first came to America. And I haven't been here all the way through. I was back in my country for 11 months because of immigration reasons. But we have been approximately 3 years in East Coast, and now we have been a little over 3 years here in Walla Walla. That's shortly about me. Today I have decided to talk about Journey to Heaven. That's how I have titled it, but it won't be a deep theological sermon. It will be more like a testimony. And I will share things like metaphors or object lessons that made me think about Journey to Heaven when we did our backpacking trip to Eagle Cap Wilderness and to Mirror Lake with Daniel this summer. So there will be a presentation up there, and we decided to go backpacking. Daniel for a long time wanted to do backpacking trip, so we did. We went, and it was my first big backpacking trip. And you know, in Bible we see a lot of journeys, right? Like people all the time move from one place to another. And of course the most famous journeys we know is the Israel's journey in wilderness for 40 years. Then there is Abraham's and Lot's journey. And then there is Joseph's brother's journey to Egypt. And of course, David's constant running away of his enemies, which you could also call journey. We know about Jonah and his walk through the city of Nineveh for 3 days. And of course, Christmas is coming soon, so we know about Mary's and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. And of course, Jesus, while he was on this earth, he also walked to Samaria, to Bethsaida, to Capernaum, and of course, Paul's many journeys and final journey to Jerusalem. Each one of our lives, I think, in a sense, is a journey. Even though sometimes I feel that in my life, I, as an Israel, walk in circles. But I, by faith, know that our life is a journey with a definite goal, with a definite destination, and that is our heavenly home. That's why I decided to talk about Journey to Heaven and our backpacking trip to Mirror Lake. And I will share seven object lessons or 7 points or 7 parallels that I saw about it. And first point is getting ready. You know, each trip starts with getting ready for the trip. So Daniel already a few weeks before that, he bought some things at Andy's market. He mixed them up and tried different dry foods and dry soups that he wants to take with him so that he knows which ones will he enjoy, which beans he will like to eat, which corn chowder soup or which dry soup he will take. So he was very excited. He put a lot of time in preparation And you know, that first night we understood how important it is to have dry clothes because we were pretty wet and cold and sweaty after walking. And so we appreciated dry clothes. We appreciated the flashlight with us. We appreciated our hiking shoes. So that's all about this preparation time. And of course, I love fruits and fresh fruits and everything, but in a backpacking trip, you need to take all the things that are very lightweight, that are easy to carry. You don't want to carry 10 or 20 apples with you, which I would love and enjoy. And you know, it made me think also about our journey to the heavenly kingdom. And you know, as we remember David's fight with Goliath, we didn't see much of the outward attire, right? But he had some armor of God, some spiritual armor of God that was on him. And so it made me think about this preparation for our journey to heaven. And I'll read verses from Ephesians 6, 13 to 18. And it says, "Therefore take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints." I will share some thoughts that I got from one Sabbath school material that was on this armor of God. And first of all, Paul says that we need to take full armor of God. And you know, it doesn't help us much if we have all 5 parts, but we miss our helmet. Or it doesn't help us much if we have all 5 other parts, but we don't have our shield. The same way, you know, if I would go in a backpacking trip with Daniel and I would have my flashlight, I would have my backpack, I would have good clothes, but I just would forget my shoes. I think it would be a pretty bloody trip and my feet would probably be injured already after first 100 feet. That's my first point. It's very important that Paul says that we need to put full armor of God. And first thing he says that take the belt of truth. You know, like in this world, we discuss a lot about what is truth. There is a lot of poetry written about what is truth, what is not truth. A lot of books is written. And even Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" He asked him this question. But we as Christians, we know that truth is not only a philosophical question or a philosophical idea. For us as Christians, we know that truth is Jesus Christ. As he says that, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." When Jesus came, he said that in him the fullness of life and the fullness of truth will dwell. And And this Roman soldiers, for them, this belt hold up all their attire, all their things. The belt was that who helped their clothes not to fall off of them. So it's that tying band that ties everything in our life together. Secondly, he says breastplate of righteousness. And you know those Roman soldiers' breastplates, they came from their neck all the way to their thigh. It was pretty huge breastplate, and it covered all their vital organs of their body. It covered their heart, it covered their lungs, it covered all the vital parts of their body. And the same way we know that Christ's righteousness is that mantle that is put around us and that covers us in this fight, in this good fight in this world. And the third one, he says, gospel of peace. And you know those Roman soldier boots, they had a very, very strong grip. You couldn't like go in the war and then slip and slide and lose your balance. And that was the moment when I really in our hike appreciated that I had those boots, because we were going through the switchbacks and it was pretty steep, and sometimes those rocks were like falling and sliding and slipping, and I was thankful for the grip of my shoes. The same way in our Christian walk, that gospel is that foundation that won't let us slip and slide and fall, but we will have a solid ground where we stand. And fourth, Paul talks about shield of faith. And you know, in those shields in their time, they were 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. It was pretty huge shield that they had. And the soldier, it was made of very strong wood with a leather and with a metal frame. So it was very sturdy structure. And when a soldier had a shield in one of his hands and a sword in another, he was ready for offense and defense at the same time. The fifth one, Paul talks about helmet of salvation. And you know, we know that our head and especially our frontal lobe is where our will is. That's where we choose to be loyal to God. And that's where we choose to give Him authority of our life. That's why it's so important to have our head protected with the thoughts of salvation. I myself struggle a lot sometimes with negative thoughts or all kind of things that come in my mind and that can discourage me, or I like to analyze things or overanalyze things or everything. So then very useful are those Paul's words where he says that take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. He says we can't let our thoughts just like slip and slide. He says take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and check it. Is it about salvation? Is my head guarded with a helmet of salvation? Or am I thinking about some sad and negative topics? And finally, he talks about sword of the Spirit. And of course, what would be this journey if we wouldn't have a guide? If we wouldn't have a Holy Spirit who would guide us? Daniel has walked this path to the Mirror Lake with his parents and with his church at some point, but it was my first time. I've never been there. I have no idea when the switchbacks will come, when the valleys will be, when there will be waterfalls, or when we will finally arrive at Mirror Lake. I have no idea. I'm just walking on the path. And in our spiritual walk, it's important to have that guide of Holy Spirit, and of course to have also Bible as our compass. So that was the first point about getting ready. My second point is about walking in the dark. We started our journey when it started to get dark already. we needed to put tags on our backpacks, and we needed to put tag on our car. So we left at the Toupan Trailhead, which is a parking lot, and from there to Mirror Lake, it's 7 miles. This backpacking trip was 7 miles to Mirror Lake, and then we hiked Eagle Cap for two more. So we started to walk in the dark. It started to getting dark, and I had my light on my head. But that's the second point I understood, because when I had my light, I could see only one step at a time. I couldn't see all my surroundings. I didn't see, oh, there is the forest, oh, there the path will turn, there that will happen. I could see only one step at a time, and as much as my light showed it to me. And I could hear the river, because there is the river that flows next to you when you kind of walk beside the river for a time. So I could hear things, but I couldn't see. And then in one moment, we were walking through a very steep switchback that starts first. And I just lifted my head up, and I saw, as you all know, I saw beautiful stars. Because the darker the night, the more you can see those bright stars of heaven. And I said, Daniel, look up. Can you see those stars? And he said, I will fall. My backpack is too heavy. If I will lift up and look up, I will just fall. His backpack was almost twice as heavy as mine. And so that made me think also that sometimes, you know, as in Psalm 23, it says we walk through the dark valley. There is no way we can go around, we can pass it, we can do all kind of things. We are walking in through the dark valley. And even though we are walking through the dark valley, there is those stars and there is light. And God usually reveals us and shows us one head, one step ahead. Even though sometimes we don't see surroundings, we don't see where life exactly will bring us, what will happen next year, what will happen in 2 years, how this will turn out, but we see the one step ahead. And then I remember this Bible verse when it says, now when these things begin to happen, and it's talking about end times, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And it's beautiful that really when I looked and when I saw those stars, I thought, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe we are walking in this bear area, because I felt that I have entered the bear world, right? It doesn't belong to me. I feel very humble and small and little when I'm in that huge forest in the darkness of night, and you are just walking there with your husband and with God. The third point, or the third parallel, that I saw. So we reached the valley which Daniel said, oh, there should be some valley and we will stay there overnight. So we reached the valley, we put up the tent quickly. I got in the tent, it was already cold, as you can imagine, and Daniel tried to hang up our backpack so that the bears wouldn't eat us and wouldn't eat our backpack. So I was trying to sleep, and then I put some dry clothes on. And so we woke up in the morning, and you know, we are in the valley. There's those mountains on both sides, and we are in the valley, so it's cold. Daniel went and filtered some water in the creek, and we cooked some breakfast, and we ate a very warm and beautiful breakfast with the I had my sleeping bag around me, and we were sitting on the tree, and then we started to read a book that Daniel has taken with him, and the sun started slowly to come in the valley. And you know, it warmed up everything. You know, I felt how instantaneously everything that was so cold before becomes so warm. It's amazing that sun is so far, but it's so hot that when it reaches the world, it literally warms up all the surrounding. And many of you have experienced that, who have hiked outside, how like when the sun comes, even this morning when we drive, it's so cold in the morning, but when the sun comes, it changes everything. And you know, the same, I'm sorry if I'm talking too fast, the same with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There is no place on this earth where he can't reach with his rays of love, which he can't reach with his rays of love and warm it up. There is no corner of the earth that is so cold that he can't warm up. And that's very encouraging to me, that he can reach even the darkest and coldest places of earth and change everything. And then there comes a point which is four. And I, of course, ask this question. As you know, children usually ask, are we there yet? And since Daniel knows the way, I'm like, how far? Are we there yet? Is it soon? And you know, next morning when we woke up and when we started our walk again, we met a man. And I said, how far is Mirror Lake? And he said, about 5 miles. And I thought, really? We walked all yesterday in the dark, and I thought I'll die in those switchbacks. And now we even walk today, and we have walked only 2 miles, and there is 5 miles ahead of us. And he said, yeah, about 5 miles. And I thought, it can't be true. Then we kept walking, of course, you know, there's no way, we are just going. And I'm telling you, and it sounds very painful and hard. It was beautiful as well. But you know, that backpack and west walking, it's sometimes not, you know, easy. So we met another man and he said, you are about halfway there. And I thought, halfway there. I again, of course, felt that we have walked 22 miles already, not only 2 miles. And then But we just kept walking. And then when Daniel said, oh, there will be a bridge. And from that bridge, there is only one switchback and then the lake. So we passed that bridge and we walked. And we met a lady who said, oh, this is my REI app. You see, you are almost there. And that really looked almost there, because it looked like only 1/8 of the path is left. But then we met a guy who was coming from the lake. And he said, I said, how far is that Mirror Lake? And he said, it's 45 minutes from here. I have been walking about 45 minutes. And I thought, oh yeah, you have been coming downhill. You know, he really was coming downhill. You know, there is about those witnesses in our journey. And I want to tell you a story that many of you probably know. And it's about tiny frogs. There is a big crowd of tiny frogs that were decided to have a competition, that they will try to climb to a high, high tower that was in that town. And you know, the word spread around and people were just curious. They were like, they thought, oh, we'll come and see how it goes. Even though none of them really believed that any of these little tiny frogs will be able to make it to the top of that tower. But you know, they were very curious. They wanted to see how it goes. So at the day when the competition was going to happen, a big crowd was gathered around the tower. And you know, a lot of tiny frogs just started to climb the tower, and they were climbing and climbing, and everybody observed it, and everybody looked, you know, how it goes, and everybody. And then somebody from the crowd said, there's no way that they will make it up there. It's just too difficult. They are so tiny, it's impossible. Then somebody, of course, said, the tower is just too high. There's no way that they will succeed. It's impossible. And you know, some of the tiny frogs began to collapse. They began to get tired, exhausted. They stopped. They started to falling down of the tower. And people kept screaming and saying, yes, they will never make it to the top. It's way too difficult. The crowd kept looking, and there were still some that were climbing higher and higher and higher, until at last there was only one little tiny frog that reached the top of the tower. And the crowd was shocked and amazed. How come they all were the same little tiny frogs? How come that this little tiny frog was able to make it to the top? And as you can imagine, you know, there were a lot of questions that they wanted to ask a tiny frog. So they started to talk to her and ask her questions and say, what happened? What helped you? How did you make it? Why others didn't? How come? And you know, there was no response because she was deaf. she couldn't hear. You know, sometimes, also in our journey to heaven, I wish I would know exactly the key, how to turn off the world and turn on God's voice. And we know in Numbers 13, we know that 12 spies were sent to the promised land to see how is the land and to bring back the report. And I want to read a few things when they came back from Numbers 13:25-33. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour everyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." You know, that report and those witnesses are very important. And I pray that I could be a witness for Heavenly Kingdom that would make people want to go there and reach the goal. And when they asked me how far, how long, that I could be an encouragement. Okay, the fifth point is we finally reached the Mirror Lake. And that's how it looked. And one of my favorite things in nature are reflections. And that's why I think Mirror Lake is called like that, because you can exactly see the top of Eagle Cap reflecting on the lake. You can see it one-to-one. This is next morning when we stayed one night there and woke up next morning. I love reflections. I love to see clouds in a puddle. I love to see trees in the lake reflecting. And it made me think about something we heard in Wildwood. But, you know, our brain has a mirroring neurons. I don't know how many of you knew that. Our brains, this part of our brain has a mirroring neurons. And there was a study done in Zurich in Switzerland, and it was done in 2013. And in this study, there was invited 11 healthy volunteers, and they were invited to watch set of videos while they're plugged to the functioning magnetic resonance imaging. Their head were connected to that, so which traced brain activity in real time. So the videos were displaying human faces yawning, human faces laughing, and human faces with neutral emotions. And you know, as scientists thought, then more than half of the time when people saw people yawning, they yawned as well. And you know, I even at home last night when I was reading this again, when I even say yawning, I yawned in that moment. You know, like, and if I would sincerely probably yawn here in front of you, and if you would look at me, then probably half of you would yawn as well, about percentage of that. But you know, when they saw the laughing faces or neutral faces, they didn't imitate them. But the MRI results, however, were profound. As the subjects experienced contagious yawning, the MRI signal lit up the inferior frontal gyrus, an area we know to be part of the mirror neuron network, which functions to help create a mental representation of the action. In contrast, the mirror system was quiet while the subjects saw the neutral or laughing faces. And you know, like, science still kind of fights over this, but part of the scientists believe that that's why we as human beings are able to feel empathy. Because we are able to empathize with people's feelings. When we see them hurt and when we see them suffering, we are able to mirror it. Because our mirroring neurons are able to sympathize with the same action. And as our memory verse said, but we all with open face... Oh, sorry, this is not yet memory verse. It's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in Christ Object Lessons, in page 355:1, it says, looking unto Jesus, we obtain brighter and more distinct views of God, and by beholding, we become changed. Goodness, love for our fellow men becomes our natural instinct. We develop a character which is the counterpart of the divine character. Growing into His likeness, we enlarge our capacity for knowing God. More and more, we enter into fellowship with the heavenly world, and we have continually increasing power to receive the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of eternity. Isn't that beautiful? That as Jesus came in this world to reflect God in the right way to human beings, He desires farther that once we see that reflection, we want to be reflectors as well. And, you know, this verse says that for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I myself am known. You know, in old times, those mirrors, if I look now in mirror, oh, I see, oh, there is my huge cold sore, oh, there is my that, there is my that, and I see very clear. That's why when you would look to this Bible verse, you would think, how come they see in mirror dimly? I see it clear. I see, oh, Eva, there you have this speck, there that speck, and there is this. But you know, as in Bible, we see in Exodus 38:8 and in Job 37:18, we see that mirrors in that time, they were like a metal, you know, like a metal that is a little bit polished. But if you could imagine that you would take a pot of your kitchen, you know, some kind of metal that's not very shiny, and you would try to look at yourself, you really don't see very clear. You see some shape and you see some things, but you still see dimly because it's like a looking to the metal. And so those mirrors back then were a little different than mirrors are today. So it's a beautiful promise that one day we will see it clear reflection, and we will understand completely things that we don't understand about our journey in this world and about what we maybe have questions. Number 6 is, no man is an island. You know, in this trip, we'll go one more forward. In this trip, I think I wouldn't be able to make this trip without Daniel. First of all, he, of course, always lifted up my backpack when I needed to put it back on me again. And I wouldn't be able to make it if I wouldn't have help. And it made me think how we can't make it to heaven alone as well. even though Daniel can't carry my backpack and I need to carry my own backpack, but we are sometimes encouraged to bear each other's burdens for some part. And the same as he carried twice as heavy backpack and I carried only one part of it. And so we need a lot of help in this journey. We can't make it alone because we are not called to walk it alone. And finally, when we were heading back, we climbed also Eagle Cap Wilderness. It was beautiful. We climbed back and it was time to head back. And we were almost back to the parking lot. And you know, I had one thought. I thought, I have an apple in the car. I was so hungry for something real, juicy, and not just like dried things mixed or fruit leather or dried pineapple, which were great, you know. Fruit leather on top of the Eagle Cap Mountain was amazing to eat that fruit leather. But I was longing for a real juicy fruit. And I knew that, oh, we left something in car. I think there should be one apple. So for the last final like 1,000 or 2,000 steps, I was thinking only about that apple that is in that car. I was like, I can make it. I can go. And I'm like, Daniel, how far? You know, we were walking in dark at first. So I don't know that last part of the road because it was in the dark. We were just walking step by step. So I was thinking about that apple. And I think it helped me to get home. And the same, you know, I think how many times, you know, when you go home and you know that your wife or your husband or your kitty or your dog will wait you home, how much easier it is to come home from work, from journey, from long trip. Like when I go to Europe, I long to see my mom. I miss my mom the most from my country, so I always long to see her. And it's much easier for me to fly that 12, 13, or whatever hour trip to go to Europe because I know I will see her. I will finally meet her. And I think for husbands, it's much easier to come home when they know that their wife will wait them or their little kitty or a dog will be happy to see them. The same in this journey to heaven, that Jesus, the person that is waits us there, that is waiting for us at home, it motivates us to get there. And you know, this beautiful vision that is in our headquarters, Adventist headquarters, it shows this small, Ellen White's vision of this small path where God's people are walking. And you can see there is like Adventist education and there is health message and pioneers and Ten Commandments and Midnight Cry and all the things that we can see in this picture. But the central focus is on Jesus. And you can see how her eyes are fixed on Jesus and how his light spreads all the way to the heavenly kingdom. So I think that's the only thing that will help me, the only person that will help me to get there. Because as the Bible verse, you know, says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. We are hoping for something, we are longing for something, and that helps us to get there. I missed it in the middle, that's why I will read this poem to you now. We had our first tandem bicycle ride with Daniel this summer or fall as well. My boss has a tandem bicycle, and we borrowed it from his house, and we decided to ride the bicycle from his house to the Rooks Park, riding across the along the river. But we needed to ride it partly also in a city, and you know, I was sitting in back. And Daniel was sitting in front. And I'm not very submissive person naturally. And I'm not very, you know, I have hard character and it's hard for me to trust, like naturally. So Daniel is riding and I didn't put those things in because that is another presentation, but we have a little video also. But Daniel is riding in front and I'm sitting in back. And you know, like, you can't see the road. I can't see behind his shoulders. I can't see where the turn is. I feel that we will crash in that car, you know, that he's passing. I can't pedal faster or can't pedal slower. When I try to press brakes, it causes disunity and everything. So I really need to submit and pedal in the same speed as Daniel pedals. And I need to trust him that he sees the road and that he won't crash in that car. And, you know, especially funny, it's when you try to make a turn, right? Like, you can't make it very sharp, like, through the edge, because, like, you too are, like, turning. So, anyways, that was a special adventure. And there is a poem that I believe talks, you know, and fits in this sermon because it also talks about journey. And it's called A Bike Ride with Jesus Christ. And first I heard this story in Latvian, and I was happy to find that it's also in English. When I first met Christ, it seemed as though life was rather a bike ride, but it was a tandem bike. As I noticed that Christ was in the back, helping me to pedal. I don't know just when it was that he suggested we change places. But life has not been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts up mountains and through the rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it looked like madness, he said, pedal. I worried and I was anxious and asked, where are you taking me? He laughed and didn't answer, and I started to learn to trust. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. And when I say I'm scared, he leaned back and touched my hand. He took me to the people with gifts that I needed. Gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. He said, give the gifts away. They are extra baggage, too much weight. So I did. I gave them to the people we met. And I found that in giving I received, and still our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it, but he knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend to sharp corners, knows how to jump to clear high rocks, knows how to fly to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful, constant companion, Jesus Christ. And when I'm sure I can't do it anymore, he just smiles and says, pedal. And I'll leave one of these with each one of you. And at the end, I would like us to look at this song. And this song is part of Ellen White's vision when she was taken to the heaven and then she needed to come back to the earth. And she says, I can't stay here any longer, for I have seen a better place. And this song is called I Want to Go to Heaven by Annie Buell. And God bless you all.
To heaven and pick a never From the mountains overlooking the temple of my God, I wanna go to heaven where all is bright and glory. How I long to be with Jesus, how I long to be with God. Sometimes I think I could stay here no longer. I feel very lonely here, for I've seen a better land. Oh, then I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. To hear the voice of Jesus, you have washed your robes in my blood, stood stiffly for my truth. And when I get to heaven, I'll cast my crown at Jesus' feet. I want to praise his name forever. He has done so much for me. Could stay here no longer. I feel very lonely here, for I've seen a better land. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, that fly away.